Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 48 of Classic Leap. My name is Tony, and I'm here with my friend Scott. How you doing, Scott?
I'm awesome, man. I got to spend the day playing golf, had a half day of work, and now it's time to talk about video games, one of my other favorite hobbies, so I'm doing awesome.
Dude, it is my hobby. It's just fun.
It's your soul hobby.
I'm excited to talk about video games. Classic Leap is bringing you the best in gaming and electronics, and I'm pretty excited about episode 48. Only one more episode to go before we hit 50. I'm getting excited.
Me too. We have some very cool things coming up for episode 50. It looks like it may be a little longer than traditional, which is pretty exciting for us. And 49, 50 right around the corner, and then it just kind of takes off from there. Then you just always end up having episodes, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, 50
is such a big milestone for us. I'm very excited, but it's come up on us really, really quickly. I cannot believe it's almost been a full year for us.
As my wife says, I cannot believe you actually stuck with something this long. So that's all right. Yeah, I'll take it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man, I have absolutely a boatload of stuff to talk about this week, too. So going to be a good episode, at least from my standpoint.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed we didn't get a record last night because you said you didn't have a lot to talk about, and I was kind of wanting a nice little break from you. But
yes, we are sorry. Once again, we have an episode out a little late. Tony decided to share internet with an entire neighborhood, and his internet service provider is a bunch of jerks, but got everything fixed so that we could get you guys an episode.
Let's just be clear. It's Time Warner Cable.
It is. Oh, God, those
jerk faces. They have a monopoly, and I hate it.
Oh, I absolutely do. I would spend so much extra money to not have them. I'd almost be willing, if I didn't have cable, I'd almost be willing to pay $10 a month to not have them even send me crap. I just had such awful experiences with them. But let's talk about some good experiences. Let's jump into some fan mail first.
Let's do it. I got a letter on the table here from VK. Not actually a letter, just because a letter costs $30 to send from Bulgaria, so he wouldn't do that. But no, VK, our buddy from Bulgaria, I'm just playing with you, buddy. He did leave a comment for us on episode 47, and he says, regarding Adventure Island WiiWare, it's a new game in the series, hence the subtitle, The New Beginning. And I hate when people say the asterisk insert console name asterisk here version of asterisk insert game series here asterisk because it's not a version of the game. Saying it's a version of the game means it's either a port or a remake of the game, and after all, it's only a version if it has the same content. So beep, beepity, beep, 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 it's an installation in the darn series. So that's my rant for the episode.
Jeez, man, he's shredded me there.
Angry.
Pissed off. I apologize, VK. I did not mean to say it was a remake or whatever, but I will buy the game just because it sounds like a pretty interesting game. I have the original Adventure Island, so I think I might actually buy that and get that review up. So even though you're pissed off at me, I think I still may do that.
Now for the sad part. Gamers Live is Gamers Dead.
It's Gamers Live.
Gamers Live is Gamers Dead. And I started anew with my YouTube channel, so now I'm VK White with a Y, something that people can pronounce. Also, I have an interview lined up with one of the developers of Pure Solar, and even though the podcast is dead, it will still be on YouTube, so be sure to subscribe.
Cool.
I'm a young gamer, grew up with the Game Boy Color and the Mega Drive, and I dislike emulation because it's into the real deal. That's the reason I have an N64 in the box with two controllers, the expansion pack, the transfer pack, and 10 games, 9 of which were boxed and will soon become 15 or 14, will be boxed. Did you notice how much I love boxed? Anyways, thank you for wasting my time. Listening to you is time well spent. VK.
Awesome. Well, thanks for writing in, man. We appreciate it. And I really am actually legitimately looking forward to downloading a WiiWare title. Just because I'll actually be able to use the Classic Controller Pro, and that is one of the best things about the Wii, is that's a darn good controller, man. I love that thing. So Hopefully it's not all motion and I'll be able to use that bad boy with it. Should be pretty cool. So,
And I and VK, I did download that game, Texting of the Bread, for iPad, and I will get to it once I get through the 30 games I still have to review this weekend. So, at some point.
Cool, man. We have a new emailer, which is really, really exciting. He goes by the handle Genesis Guy, which is very cool. I have a lot of Genesis stuff to talk about this week. He says, "Hey guys, I've been an on and off listener of your show for a while now, since I've heard you referenced on the Retro League podcast. So thank you very much, Retro League, for the plug. Just wanted to write and say episode 47 was excellent. Being someone who is mostly a retro gamer and a fan of the Genesis, I enjoyed all the Sega talk. Regarding the question about emulators versus real hardware, I've always felt the same as you guys do. I hear strong cases being made that emulators have come along or have come a long way and can pretty much come close to the real thing, but nothing actually does match plugging the cart into the console and hooking it up to a CRT TV. Maybe it's because I grew up that way, but I think it'll be a sad day when the original hardware stops working. Keep it up, guys. Genesis Guy." Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that there's some people that agree with us, not only gamers that are around our age, but also younger gamers like VK, who really, truly appreciate having the actual real hardware. And yeah, Genesis Guy, thanks for being a listener at all. If you catch us periodically, that's fine with us, because any listener at any time is something that we greatly appreciate. So thank you very much for writing in as well. And then we had two of our old friends write in with some quick comments. This probably was not intended to be read on air, but I'm going to anyways. Jerry Terrifying writes in to say, on episode 46, was that a chiptune version of Hey Sandy, the theme song from Pete and Pete? JT, you bet your ass it was. And that was an awesome, awesome song. I was going through YouTube trying to look for something cool and NES remixed, something that would be awesome. And I saw that Pete and Pete theme song in 8-bit, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. I kind of want to just use it as the outro every week from now on. But yeah, dude, that was definitely Hey Sandy from Pete and Pete. And I know that our good buddy Dustin, Vogue Nasty, he sent out some tweets about that song because he was a big fan of the show as well. So definitely very, very cool show. For any younger listeners, I don't know if I should even recommend Pete and Pete, because in the early part of the 90s,
oh, man,
Nickelodeon was so quirky. You know what I mean?
That was so awesome.
They had a 10-year-old with a tattoo on his forearm that looked like Jessica Rabbit that he would make dance. Like, it's awesome. I think it might be too weird for some people.
I love Salute Your Shorts.
Salute Your Shorts was very, very good. Did you know that Pinsky is in a band called Rilo Kiley with Jenny Lewis, who was in the movie The Wizard?
Dude, would I know that?
Maybe.
No, I love The Wizard, though.
But yeah, so anyways, JT, yes, that's the song. And then also from Down Under, Kaiser writes in and he says, "Hey guys, I played the 3D version of Zelda 2. It's amazing. Thanks for recommending the game.
I still have to play that. Sorry for interrupting." Oh. Dang it, I keep forgetting.
Dude, it's awesome. So
yeah, I know. It sounds awesome.
He writes in and he goes, "I recorded a video of me teabagging the princess."
Oh, God.
So he goes, which leads to a question. How do we feel about teabagging in video games? And I guess by that, showboating and taunting and putting your opponent down or whatever. How do you feel about trash talking in video games from that kind of a perspective where you try to insult someone?
I don't think I can respond in the proper context, so I'm going to plead no comment on this one.
Oh, okay. No problem. I actually don't care. If it gets people worked up, I think that they need to calm down a little bit. There's nothing you can do about it. And if it makes you that mad that you're getting teabagged, then don't die. It's pretty cut and dry. He says, cheers, Sam, a.k.a. the Retro Kaiser, because we think it's weird calling him whatever. James is what he goes by also. I have no idea what his real name is. He's got like 8 or 9 different names. And he responds to every single one of them, which leads to more confusion on my end. But yeah, Kaiser, dude, thanks a lot for writing in. And Tony doesn't want to talk about that kind of stuff. And to me, if you have a problem with it, then yeah, don't play the game. It's pretty simple for me. And I believe that's it from the emails I wanted to read. And you had one more, right?
Yeah, our friend Vogue Nasty wrote in. He said, hey, guys, just wanted to say what's up to two of my closest E homies. I've been thinking recently about what a good time we live in as gamers. I would say it's equal with the golden age of gaming back in early to mid-90s. With the resurgence of retro gaming, it's almost a golden age renaissance, and with the internet, we can all connect and discuss our love for gaming. It's good to be a gamer. I will go out of my way and end this in a way that doesn't involve me talking about you guys rocking faces, regardless of how true it is, and simply say you guys are doing an awesome job, and I can't wait for episode 50. God bless.
Thanks, Dustin, man. That's awesome. And we actually are going to talk a little bit more in depth about something with Vogue Nasty in a little bit, or actually towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
But he's got a really good point there. I guess I get so caught up in the fact that I enjoy retro games a lot that my view is skewed towards the modern games and the era that we're currently in right now. Mm-hmm. So for me to read that email puts things into perspective that gaming right now actually is really, really good. And it's as good as it was when we were kids.
Well, I want to save some of this conversation because I have some stuff to – I have a conversation for us to get into at the end of the modern portion.
Okay.
It kind of deals with this a little bit. But nice. Yes, I agree. It is a golden age of gaming. So
very cool.
Not to stop your train of thought, but no, I just have a conversation for us. So.
Not at all, man. That's fine with me. So let's get into dude, I totally forgot what we were going to do first. Are we going to do retro or modern?
Well, I want to mention our sponsors real quick. I just want to say thank you to AverMedia and Hapag for sending over the PVRs.
Hapag has a PVR.
Hapag has the HD PVR. AverMedia has the USB HD DVR. But I just want to thank both of them for sending them over. So all of our video reviews that we do on our YouTube channel can be in HD. So it's awesome to have those two companies, two great companies, sponsoring us. And I also want to remind our gamer listeners to go to J2 Games and buy a lot of games and use the code CLEAK because you can get 20% off,
yes,
which is awesome. So CL337. So thanks to J2 Games for sponsoring us. Also, thank you to Gamers Gate, the best in downloadable PC games, great deals, great retro PC game deals, yep, and modern. So check out gamersgate.com as well. So yep, thanks to all of our sponsors.
Yes, very much appreciated. And then also we can't forget about Scenic 7 and all the help that they've done with us. So we actually have something to mention about Scenic 7 later in the episode as well. So we have all these teasers, Tony. Everything's happening late in the episode. What are we going to talk about up front?
Well, we're going to talk about retro.
Retro. All right. Sweet. Okay. So it's actually a blessing in disguise that we had all the technology or the technical issues that we did yesterday and couldn't record because today I was torn. I was sad, but was in a little world of retro heaven. Unfortunately, Midtown Media is going to close. I was optimistic. Every time I've been in there, there's always been somebody else in there buying stuff, looking around. I never saw any of the same faces really in there, so I was really hoping that business was picking up and trucking along. Well, due to the fact that it's closing, everything in the store was 50% off right now. Everything. So dude,
I wish I was there, man.
I went bonkers.
I'm going to send you up there for a trip this week.
I went bonkers, dude. Okay. Let me just just throw out some numbers. I got 10 complete boxed Genesis games, ranging from like Donald's Quack Shot. I actually have an original Sonic, which is cool to have. Battletoads, which I've never played.
Oh, that's a fantastic game. I love that game.
Now, I've played Battletoads on the NES, so I'm like, well, it's got to be good, right? Shinobi 3, complete in box. That was good. The re-release of Golden Axe that came out. Tiny Toon Adventures. NHL 94. That's the one where the heads bleed, I believe.
Oh, gosh. So violent.
So then...
NHL 94 single-handedly ushered in Bulletstorm and Gears of War.
It was the precursor, man. Make Gretzky's head bleed.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Swingers is great. And then I won't go through the Genesis games I picked up, but I think I got 16 loose carts, 10 boxed games from just Genesis. And then I got 13 or 14 NES carts. He just gave me for free a guidebook for the Genesis Game Genie. So now, yes, we have the internet. Yes, there's way more codes out there than anything published in this book. But I have the freaking book now. That's really, really cool to have as a collector. I'm starting to get into game collecting a little bit, and my collection's exploding right now. And then probably the best deal that I got is an original working Game Boy in darn near pristine condition. This thing looks unbelievable. Still turns on. We should all, retro gamers will remember this. Hold on.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. $2.50.
Ah, makes me,
$2.50. How are you not going to buy that?
Dude, tell me they have another one.
No, they do not, unfortunately.
Oh, man, I love the original Game Boy.
It's unbelievable. Now it doesn't. We're spoiled now with the way screens are on like our phones and stuff, and iPods and iPads and all that. And so like this screen is pretty crappy, but it's got dot matrix with stereo sound. It's just unbelievable. It's just so right on the top. So, anyways, and then I did pick up a modern game. So I got complete Borderlands Game of the Year Edition for $8.
Oh, dude, that's a great deal. That is a fun game that I've never gotten to play very far into. I've gotten into a little bit, and I just didn't have time to finish. Man, it's so good. Like, I had so much fun playing it.
So my girlfriend is just going to have a little fit when she gets home and sees that someone threw up retro games all over the living room. I forgot to talk about the coolest gift that he gave me. It was sitting behind me. That's how. Okay. I need to put a picture up on the website or on Twitter or something. Dude, he gave me Lethal Enforcers for the Sega Genesis.
I know. That's amazing.
So he gave me the cart, the box that it comes with, the original promotional poster, and the gun. The only thing that he took was the manual because it completed his own personal collection. He has one at home. So he's like, do you want this? I'm like, are you kidding me? Absolutely. Dude, this box is like, it's literally the size of a big cereal box.
Man, that's amazing.
I wish they still released like games like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Earthbound.
I still remember that box, man.
Yeah. Like, I got Star Tropics. Like, that's a game I'm never going to play. I got that today for, like, $2.50. I got the original Final Fantasy. I will never play that, but it was $7 loose.
Like, oh, man.
I'll take that. And that cart is in great shape. So, wow. All these cool games, I got a lot of them for a dollar, like Jack Nicklaus Golf and Pinbot. And some of these games I bought for nostalgic reasons just because they were super cheap and I used to have them. Like Sonic 3 I now own. I've never owned that game before. That kind of stuff. So I just went bonkers with retro this afternoon after I got done golfing. And I only stopped in just because I was on the phone, missed a turn, and was driving past the shop. And I'm like, you know what? I should just stop in there, pick up a couple of games or whatever. But I got all this stuff for $100.
Wow.
So what would have probably ended up me spending over the course of time about $200-$300, I got all today, all at once, for $100, and it was well worth it. I now have a stellar collection of NES and Genesis games, so I'm pumped, dude. Awesome, yeah, awesome stuff. That's great.
Good stuff, man.
And last week, or last night, I had a small review game to talk about. Over this week, I played The Lion King quite a bit, and there's only one quick little thing I wanted to bring up, and it's just I forgot this about 16-bit games, but do you remember towards the end of the 16-bit era how pretty the games started to look? They really started to get the color palettes down. They really knew how to make the game look good.
Oh, yeah.
But do you remember how that caused some confusion on where exactly the edges of cliffs were or where ledges are that you could and could not step on?
Oh, yeah.
So this game is very good, but it's got some wonky controls, and it also has some very inaccurate ledge grabbing because they have rounded edges. You're not sure if you're actually going to grab onto a ledge, or there's times where you think you're going to jump onto a platform, and if you don't hit it right in the middle, you're going to fall through, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I remember that about some of the 16-bit games, that they started to almost worry too much about how it looked instead of worrying about how the gameplay actually was. But I do definitely want to point out The Lion King. If you see it cheap for $5 or $6, it's definitely a good game to have in your collection. So, and then next, I didn't get a chance to really talk about Tiger Woods last week in episode 47. And by Tiger Woods, I mean Tiger Woods 12, the Masters Edition. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about with this game. Tony, have you played it yet at all? Did you get a demo?
I just have played it on the iPad and iPhone. I don't have the actual console.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for any of our listeners that are interested in hearing a lot about the game, Gooch and the Douchebag on episode 57 do an unbelievable in-depth review. They probably spend 15 minutes on the game. It's just and the thing is like, I'm such an avid golfer. It's my favorite game to play. Hearing DB's passion with the game of golf and hearing his true appreciation of the detail that EA put into bringing the Masters into a Tiger Woods game, it really struck a chord with me, and I can really appreciate the warm fuzzies that he gets just talking about the game. So for me, the thing that blew me out of the water was the detail of the course of Augusta National. And the reason that I knew that they absolutely nailed the detail was while I was watching the Masters, which just ended last weekend, today is April 15th of 2011, just last week was potentially the most exciting Masters Sunday ever. Just craziness was going on. But not only did I recognize every hole and know exactly where they were, just based on the camera shot, I could tell what hole they were on. I also knew exactly what the pros were trying to do when they were approaching the green. I knew exactly where they needed to hit the ball to get it to run the right way so that you'd end up close to the cup. It was unbelievable. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that the EA team spent a year or two mapping the entire Augusta course in 6-inch squares. The entire course.
Wow.
So that would be hard for me to believe until I saw the detail in the game, and I think they might have. The slope of the greens are just perfect. It's exactly what happened on TV. So this for me is definitely the best Tiger Woods game since 2005. For me, the Tiger Woods 04 or 05, but probably 05 for me, was the best Tiger Woods up to this point. And there's a few major changes, some that I really like, and one that was, it's a feature that's not there that I miss, or I'm missing it. Gooch is the one that brought this up in episode 53, is that they shift into almost an MMORPG type of leveling up system. And what they do is you earn experience points instead of earning money like traditional Tiger games. And what happens is as you get enough of experience, you actually end up automatically unlocking items instead of having to constantly go to the pro shop and seeing what you can and can't afford. And every time you complete a task, it gives you the option to be able to go into all available items and look at anything new. So everything that's new is categorized for you, so it's nice and easy to get to. So I loved it. I think the experience points is a much better system than having the dollar amount. I don't know. What would your opinion be on that? Do you think that's even worth bringing up, the fact that that's a change?
I don't know. I do like the experience points better.
It just makes it feel like more of a game, I guess.
Yeah,
Like,
I
we're
don't.
used to
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like spending that kind of money, even if it is fake.
that. We just got ridiculous. You'd have like 40,000 or $40 million. Like,
Yeah.
okay, like who cares?
You're like,
But
what am I, Tiger Woods?
yeah, you know what? That might be all he has now.
Yes.
His ex-wife got a lot of money.
Poor guy. How's he supposed to feed his kids off 40 mil?
I don't know. Well, he just gave $500 million in child support, so I think he'll be okay. One feature that's missing is that, well, there's not as much customization as I would have liked, and I'm a dork. I know that like I get obsessive about certain things, and Notre Dame football is one of them. So, in 2005, I made Charlie Weiss, the old Notre Dame football coach, on my GameCube. And that was the character that I designed for Tiger Woods 05 that I played with. And so I made Brian Kelly, who's the current Notre Dame coach, for this game. And I can't get him to look quite right. And one of the things that I was able to do in 05 is you could design and make your own picture. They would give you a palette that was a full square, and you could color in pixels. So I actually took the time one day to make a full Notre Dame logo that would appear on the left breast of Charlie Weiss's shirt. And I don't see that feature here. So I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get Brian Kelly to look like Brian Kelly, and that's kind of a bummer for me. It's just going to look like some random dude. Overall, though, that's not something that's going to hold me back. It just means that I'm not going to waste, 2 hours trying to put together a Notre Dame logo.
Which is
But
probably good.
probably a good thing because that's not going to give us content for the show. This probably is going to go down as my favorite Tiger Woods game ever. Once I get used to, like, the putting is crazy hard, but once I get used to it, once I level up my character long enough, then I think that it's going to end up being the Tiger Woods game that I hold nearest and dearest to my heart, which is cool. So I have a deal of the week, Tony,
What do you got?
from J2 Games, and then a brief kind of shout out to ourselves review thing about a game that I just made a video for. But as far as the J2 games.com deal of the week, it is for the original Xbox, Knights of the Old Republic. Is that correct? That's the right title?
Yes. Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic.
You're the one that found this deal, Tony. I have to give you full credit for this, but it's for the original Xbox,
Yep.
and
Made
it
by BioWare.
made by BioWare. And
So.
remember, I got confused about that, and it looks like BioWare might be making another Star Wars game. Not that, and you had corrected me and told me that they had worked together before. So this is, I think this is the game that you were referencing, and
Fantastic RPG.
on J2 Games, for a little less than $11 with the Classic Leap promo code, you get this thing shipped to your house. And on Amazon, it's between $22 and $23 after shipping. So J2 Games has an unbelievable RPG for Star Wars, and it's about $10. That's unbelievable.
It's an amazing game. So, I mean, it holds up today. It's phenomenal.
And I do want to just make one comment about J2 Games. Right now, they have a awesome selection of last generation items. So anything for the GameCube, PS2, or original Xbox, definitely check it out. And I did my research online. Knights of the Old Republic will play on your 360. Sometimes there can be a little bit of voice lag issues, from what I read, but for the most part, the game plays really well. So for $10, and you're looking for an RPG, this sounds like the way to go for me.
Mm-hmm. So definitely. It is really good game. So
very cool.
Yeah.
And then speaking in kind of a retro fashion RPG setting, Tony, I did a video for Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Great video.
Thank you very much. I don't want to talk a lot about it because there's honestly not much to it. This is a puzzle game, and it's freaking addicting. And it's laid out in a 16-bit RPG style with leveling up and characters and parties and using strategy on how you're going to handle battles and things like that. But for the most part, it's a puzzle game, and it's gorgeous. It's got unbelievable depth to it, and that's one of the things that I'm really happy about with the Aver TV. When I do reviews, I'm using the Aver TV DVR, and when Tony does reviews, he's using the Hapag PVR. And one thing that I really like about the DVR here is that it captures the pop, I guess. The picture really pops out of the screen when I'm playing it here on my flat screen. And I think that the video capture that I got with the device really shows the pop of the game and the depth that the graphics have. So this is a game that I would recommend if you are a puzzle game fanatic and you like RPGs. So basically it comes down to if you like a Plants vs. Zombies type of game in RPGs, this is probably a game that you'll love. And the story is good too. There's actually a story that I'm enjoying. The traditional old times, good overcoming evil kind of stuff. But it's a fun game, dude. I love it. And I really want to, bring attention to that game just because it's a lot of fun to play. And there's a few people that listen to the show that would love it. So
I love the transition you had, with like, when you started the review, you're like, dude, I don't know if this is going to be the type of game that I'm going to enjoy. And then I called you 2 hours later and you're like, I'm going to finish this game. It's awesome. So, and I think it's cool. And it testifies to the game and to your review quality. There was about 6 comments of people that said they went out and bought the game after watching your review. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That made me feel really good. And it's, you know, I don't get commission or anything like that if they sell any of these games. But what it made me feel good about was that this was a game that I enjoyed playing. And I feel like based on those comments, I was able to convey that I enjoyed it and why I enjoyed it. So I think I'm getting better at the reviews. I still have some ways to go. But slowly but surely, I will be getting better at these things. So,
no, dude, you do a good job, man. You do good. So,
but that wraps everything up on my end. I definitely wanted to give a final farewell to Jason at Midtown Media here in Findlay, Ohio. He might be doing another side project business where he's going to expand his buying and selling business. So, he said he thinks that he's going to do away with any modern games, but will probably still do some old school retro games because he's got some good clientele here in town that really like to trade and stuff with him. So, Tony, what do you have on the plate for the modern portion?
Well, I wanted to start out with a little bit of a review of a video I did this week. I wanted to talk about Mayhem 3D. And the reason I wasn't going to do a review, but then the reason I wanted to talk about this game is because go to youtube.com/classicleet, check out the Mayhem 3D review. This game is really cool, but I'm talking about it tonight because I'm frustrated with 3D. You can tell that by watching the video. I just don't like it that much, and I don't think that it's that great of a concept. And I just don't you know, I don't know, like I saw Avatar in 3D, and that's supposed to be like the epitome of what 3D technology can do.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't that impressed. And I watch it, and then I think, like, oh, now it's really starting to take over the gaming market. 3D TVs and the consoles are saying, I'm 3D enabled, and like all these games. And then there's one person out of 300 million on Twitter that can afford a 3D TV, and they're like, hey, I'm yeah. playing Call of Duty in 3D. It's amazing. You know, but it frustrates me because they marketed this game, Mayhem, for 3D. The funny thing is they claim it works on every TV, and they include two pair of 3D glasses, like the old red and blue kind.
Okay.
And, dude, it sucks. Like, the 3D sucks. I mean, I tried it for like an hour, and my eyes were hurting. I had a headache, and nothing on the screen was popping out. And it might just be me, but I'm just like... And the reason I'm frustrated is because they spent all of their marketing on Mayhem 3D. It's 3D. It works on every TV. I mean, that's what's all over the box. It's all over the artwork. The glasses are included. And then you play the game, and the game is a freaking blast. It's awesome. Like, it's demolition derby racing.
Yeah.
In graphic, a dark graphic novel style. It looks like the game Mad World, except you're in a race car.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I mean, amazingly fun, and just the controls are good, and all they market is the 3D. And I'm like, you know, I start the review and I say, if you're buying this for 3D, don't. You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. My thoughts on 3D are, I can't wait till it gets to the point where, see, the idea of 3D for me, it I don't give a crap if something looks like it's coming out at me. What I want to see is true, actual depth, where I don't – my TV screen right now is clear, but it doesn't look like I could reach into the TV and touch the grass. You can clearly tell that that's not a window. To me, that's 3D, and I think Nintendo with the 3DS is touching on the fact that that's the way that you do 3D the right way. Things popping out are – generic, and we had pop-up books as kids, and it, we all know that it's just an effect, but true actual depth is what true 3D should be about, and hopefully as games progress and as technology progresses, they will realize that it's not about making things come out at you, it's about making things really truly feel like there is depth behind them, that it looks like you're looking through a window, not a very high quality, very clear screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing for me is I would much rather wait and invest time and money and all these things into a technology that made gaming more three-dimensional and realistic rather than just saying, okay, well, in 1980, Jaws was released in 3D and it sucked. And there was two parts of the movie that, you know, popped out at you, and yeah. All we're going to do is make every part pop out at you and say this is true 3D. I'm just like, wait 20 years or wait something until it's like it really works, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It just needs to look like it's a real window that I'm watching this actually happen and not some hologramic type of gimmick of things popping out at you. I'm completely on board with you on that, and I thought you did a really good review on the game, and it was a little surprising to hear you be so aggressive in your negativity in your review towards it, but I completely understand why, because like you had mentioned, it's a good game, and they didn't market that it's a good game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's why I was frustrated, is because they overlooked marketing all the great features of it. And the first time someone hears that the 3D sucks, they're not going to buy it.
Yeah, I agree. It could be detrimental.
Yeah, I think even the people at Zoo Games who made the game knew that the 3D sucked. I mean, they retweeted my review. I couldn't believe it. Dude. I was generous to the game. I was not generous to the... you know, I wasn't generous to the 3D. So, anyways.
Cool.
Yeah. So, if you're a developer out there, and you're listening to our show, if the stars had aligned and you're listening to our show tonight, don't get caught up in the 3D.
Make the game good.
Yes. All right, on to the modern portion. First of all, big announcement this week that hasn't been announced yet by Nintendo, but the Wii 2 rumors.
Wii 2 rumors.
Tons of rumors. Rumors of 1080p resolution. Ooh. First time ever we've had that. No, 1080p resolutions. It will be revealed at E3 this year.
Yep.
In just a couple months, supposedly. Released in 2012. More powerful than any system that's out today. And Nintendo is, quote, from the reports, intent on recapturing the hardcore audience. So all of these rumors are pouring in about the Wii 2. More powerful than any system today. There's no word of a motion controller. We're told it's going to be a brand new controller. And I personally think that Nintendo, while they still have the major share of the market as far as handhelds are concerned, I think they should go chips all in. Just get crazy and try to build a badass system.
I think they should go chips all in with focusing on making it a good system, not necessarily doing something wild and zany, because the Wii was so unique, and actually there's some really good games on the Wii, but it was so unique and so easy for everyone to play that they kind of struck gold there. And so I hope that they not necessarily go in an opposite direction, but that they do take another turn. And I was talking with our friend Matt that you used to work with. He's done some reviews for us, and he was bringing up kind of a good point. And he's like, you know what? I just wish that my Wii would not have dumbed down titles. When something comes out for PS3 or Xbox, on the Wii, you get the generic version.
Dude, this is the same way it's been for their last three consoles.
I understand that. But but with the 64, I'll give them a pass there. They made a choice to avoid loading, because loading back then was a nightmare. So I will give them credit for that. But the GameCube, the Tiny Disc, was a stupid idea. They limited themselves. And then with the Wii, they should have just enabled the DVD drive. They should have done that. So hopefully they use true Blu-ray, and hopefully it's easy for developers to make games for it. That's going to be the biggest thing. And out of the gate, you don't know if that's going to be, you know, when you're the first one that's new, you don't know if it's going to be easy to develop games. So you don't know how the software is going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they should go all in. They're Nintendo. They still have a huge market share, which I think they're going to lose some of that to Android and iPhone for the handheld market. And so I think right now why they're on top, I mean, because they still sold more consoles than the 360 and PS3, I think they should, you know, they have tons of money. They should just go all in and just try to do something that's going to just dominate the market. I just want to see it, just because I think they can. I think they have enough big titles. Like, how awesome would it be to see a PS3 quality or 360 quality Metroid or a Zelda? I mean, could you imagine the Zelda if it was like that crazy? I mean, just
no. I actually no, I can't. And so it for me is exciting,
mm-hmm.
that supposedly the rumor is that they're going to try to really outdo everything that's available. But hopefully it's not a Dreamcast situation where a little bit down the road, PS2, if you will, comes and just dominates it.
Yeah. Well, Dreamcast, it was all marketing in my mind. Because they didn't let any third party developers make games for it, you know?
Well, dude, also the DVD drive was huge for the PS2. The PS2 DVD players were really expensive back then.
Yeah.
And it was as cost-effective as anything to get a PS2 because of the DVD capabilities. I think that had a big thing to do with it, too.
I do, too, but the Dreamcast had like a year and a half before the PS2 even came out.
It did. It did.
To do something, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah, their marketing wasn't good. So let me ask you this real quickly. Are you excited that Nintendo is probably going to be announcing a console for 2012?
I won't have an opinion until E3 because I every time I get excited about Nintendo, I get let down
Okay.
in the last 10 years. And I liked the 64 a lot. I had a 64. That was my system of choice over the PlayStation 1. I didn't even have a PlayStation 1 until late in the life cycle.
Okay.
I loved the 64, so don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But I just feel like I just man. I
Okay.
just can see Reggie, whatever is Phil's name
Yeah,
name.
he's got
I
a
can see his
funky
big
ass
smiley
name.
face, like we wanted to do something unique, and they just kind of go into some crazy jacked up thing that no one's ever thought of, and it sells millions in the first year and then dies for
Yeah.
the last four. So I don't know. I hate to be sarcastic, but it's just like, come on,
Fair enough.
just.
Well, I'm excited about
Fill the
it.
market. I'm excited. I'm not gonna get excited until like I'm excited about the rumors, but I want to see something that says yes, it's gonna be a hardcore gaming console.
Yeah.
We'll see. So,
Well,
all
cool,
right.
man. What else you got?
Well, I'm gonna skip over a couple of the stories I had written down, just because I want to have a little conversation. I've been thinking a lot about gaming, and I want to have a conversation about having a niche in the gaming market.
Okay.
And this is going to sound really philosophical, so just hang with me for a second.
Okay.
But I've been thinking about a lot in the last couple of weeks about gaming and like kind of where I am. How do I fit gaming into my life? I have a family. Me and you have the podcast now, which takes up a lot of time. How do you fit gaming into your life and remain passionate about it? Because I still am really passionate about it, but I'm trying to find those things in gaming that really matter to me. Like, what do I want to focus on at this stage of my gaming career? And so I was just thinking about how things kind of evolve naturally within the human race, and I'm not talking about how, Darwin might say we evolved from a toadstool or anything like that. I'm talking about how things just kind of start out small and then they get big and then they kind of get overwhelming. So if you think about American history or just history in general, there used to be three major career paths. There used to be doctor, lawyer, and then thinker or like theologian type thing. And now you can get paid money and have a career to test and play video games. So it's
Yeah.
like you think about like we started with those three things, and then after years and years, there's just tons and tons of careers, tons of ways to make money, tons of ways to be experts, and all those things. And so what I'm kind of getting at is gaming is getting so big, like there it's so huge. There's so many facets of it. And so, at what point do we stop trying to follow all of it and encompass all of it and just become passionate about a part of it, So, kind of become a gaming specialist. And I bring this up just even because since we've started doing the podcast, I realize it's just one thing, it's impossible to follow it all.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'm just going to have to specialize in certain parts of it and just stick with those parts of it. And I think we've also met a bunch of people who just, focus on like a part of the gaming world that I never even knew existed. I mean, how many friends do we have that collect imports and, like all those things? Or they just collect, I mean, look at Nintendo Legend. He plays through every Nintendo game,
Yeah.
I
Well,
mean,
like
I'm like,
Gooch, like
that's
I've never been into PC gaming.
yeah.
And they do a lot of PC game reviews that they get from Gamersgate, and like he Gooch, that is, was just did a really good review in episode 53 of Crysis 2, and he talked about the Crysis series. He talked about Crysis 1, and then he talked about Crysis 2, and from a PC gaming standpoint, and for me, like that's awesome. I never will explore that because I'll never have that kind of a computer.
Yeah, and that's why I think like for me dying to that competition part of gaming and just embracing the parts that I'm really good at. Like when I was in college, Halo 1, I mean, I was good. I felt like I was really good at it, and I had a group of four guys I played with and we were really a great team, all four of us together. And so but I'm sure on college campuses all over America at that time and all over the world, there were four-man teams that were amazing, and women teams, just to be politically correct. But you know what I'm saying? But it's like I was real competitive and all those things. And then as life got busy, I just didn't have time to be a competitive gamer. Like, that's why I really don't play Call of Duty anymore. I don't play Halo that much anymore because I can't compete. I mean, I can beat the single-player game, but I can't – I don't have time. I mean, to literally – it's so big – you have to spend hours every single day, which I just don't have, you know? And so, like, for me, I'm exploring, and I wanted to ask you about that. You know, what parts of gaming and genres are you finding yourself at this point in your life gravitating towards? For me, you know, I that's just a question I'm having to answer for myself. What parts of gaming do I want to focus on? Because it's so big. I've been in it for so long. Well, and it's just getting overwhelming. So I just feel like I just have to cut certain parts of it and focus on others.
Well, see, I guess for me, like, Tony, we come from a completely different perspective where I was somebody coming into starting this podcast that I had already found what I was comfortable with in gaming. I already had not very much interest in keeping up with gaming. I found the types of games that I really enjoyed the most, and they are games that involve solving puzzles and recognizing patterns, and they are games that involve, like, platforming that requires good, quick reflexes, and that's kind of my favorite style or styles of games. So for me, coming into this podcast, I felt like I've learned a lot more about just the industry and people that are in gaming and how much and how big it actually is. I never realized the scope before, but I had kind of accidentally just wandered into and stayed with older games because I didn't see a lot of the types of games that I liked with the newer consoles. And quite frankly, they were intimidating. I didn't make the leap, you know, through the 64 into the PS2 or anything like that. I bought a Dreamcast, as I mentioned a couple times before on the show. I bought it used so that I could use my buddy's emulator disc. Like, I didn't get into that style of gaming. I understood that it was going to overwhelm me, and it didn't get me excited that new games were coming out. What got me excited was when I could go to Funko Land on a road trip with my brother and go buy NES games that were a few dollars that we could, you know, that we played at our friends' houses, but we never could own, and now we can own them. That, like, that was what I connected with in gaming. And then what got me interested in the podcast is the fact that there has been, like Dustin had mentioned, there is this resurgence in retro gaming because of the internet. These games weren't popular because of just a fluke. They were really good games. There's a lot there, and there's a lot from the genre that, you know, going back to the early 80s, you know, prior to the crash with the Atari and things like that, that had set the groundwork for gaming to be as big as it is today. And you know, somewhere towards the beginning, but not at the beginning, is where I felt my comfort zone and my wheelhouse, and that's kind of where I've stuck. And what I've done to try to fill in my incredibly large knowledge gap is watching videos on YouTube, watching retrospectives, meeting people. You know, the podcasts that we interact with all the time, listening to all of them, because, like, for example, with Critical Failure, they're talking about the Wizardry series. I'm never going to get into that, but I find it interesting to hear about. And he was really – he talked about Wizardry a lot in the beginning of Tiger Claw Radio. And, you know, listening to Retro Kaiser talk about a lot of different import games, and Retro League talking about retro games that I had no idea about. All of those guys really liked RPGs, and I never got into those. So for me, I learned a lot about a whole area of games that I missed even when I was right in the wheelhouse of that era. So I've always been okay with knowing just my little piece here and making friends that, like you, that help bring me up to speed and help show me new things to try and new games that I may or may not like. So just from a philosophical standpoint, I've always considered myself a very small gamer. I've always been somebody that liked games, but I've never been a hardcore gamer because I was never really good enough. And I've, you know, really lean on other people quite a lot to learn a lot of the stuff that I do. So I don't know. I think that it's okay. I think I came into this with that understanding already. Where yeah. you got overwhelmed, you had that feeling because that's Tony. That's how you are. You want to once you get interested in something, you go full steam ahead, 100%. You're all in. And so I could see why you would get overwhelmed and frustrated.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm to that point yet, but it's something I've been thinking about a lot. Like since I've got to hang out, you know, with you a lot more in the last couple of years. Not to get too sentimental, but it's been like it's rekindled my flame for retro and for like where I've come from in the gaming world.
Yeah,
and so for me, like I've loved collecting. Like I started collecting again when we started the podcast for the first time. I mean, I had gotten rid of tons of consoles when I was growing up. And now I'm trying to collect those back and like start collecting again. And so that's been good. Like I think one area I'm going to focus on is retro. And for me, the other thing is I just feel like the need to slow down. Like I don't think I'm ever going to take over IGN with reviews or, you know, yeah. and all those things, but just kind of slow down and enjoy gaming. Because I think if I get too overwhelmed, I think if we get too overwhelmed, then it becomes something you're not passionate about, but more of a job. And I think that's what I want to try to avoid. So I'm just interested. I bring it up because that's something I'm wrestling with personally. Yeah. And I want to hear, you know, what our gamer listeners, our community is wrestling with. Like, are there areas that you've decided you're going to focus on in gaming?
What's your niche?
What's your niche in gaming? Just kind of write in. I would love to hear that because I'm like, Scott, I'm all into meeting people on YouTube now and meeting people through the podcast and having this great community where I'm not trying to beat people out. I'm not trying to get better than them, but I'm trying to learn from them, uh-huh. you know, and enjoy their content. And so I think that you're going to see me slowing down a lot with, you know, with what I focus on and just really wrestle through some of that. So
well, good. Because
it's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, going back to Dustin's email, if you're not careful, you won't realize what a good time in gaming it really is. There's something for everybody out there. I mean,
yeah.
My parents they downloaded Tetris on their Wii because they used to borrow my Game Boy back in the day. So, like, my parents play Tetris together sometimes.
Yeah.
There's trivia games if you're a trivia person. There's poker games if you like to play poker. I mean, there's so much out there that if you let yourself get overwhelmed, you won't allow yourself to really appreciate all the different forms of entertainment that gaming has. And if there's anything that you're not interested in trying because it feels overwhelming, check out one of your friends or one of our friends' shows, and they'll tell you about it.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and to point back to Dustin's email again, like, I think that it's a great because all of us guys that have had this passion, you know, and we are different than the current gamers out today. We are different than, you know, the teenagers and the 20 somethings that are playing today because we actually grew up when those consoles were hot, you know, and
yeah.
Not saying we're better than those people. I'm just saying it's different. You know, like when we started this podcast, we called it for gamers from the elite generation, from our generation who, I mean, we literally grew up in the boom of yes. gaming and technology, you know? So it's like, just literally, like, I don't know if there will ever be another 30 years like there has been to see where it came from Atari to now, you know, like it's just, it's amazing. And so it's an amazing time. And what Dustin's saying is we can connect around that now. We can now, you know, have these communities where we can say, oh, this is what Mega Man meant to you. And this is what it meant to me. And like, and it's just something cool about that, you know?
Yeah.
But the cool thing is too, we invite people. And I mean, look at VK, he's what, 14, 15, I don't know. And he loves retro gaming, you know? And so it's like, it's cool that he's part of that. And so we invite him into that part of the community. It's cool, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, we want everyone to experience those same games that we did. So, yeah, I sound like an old man, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think anybody can relate to that. You know, it's sometimes it's easy for anybody to get overwhelmed with anything. You know, we're just putting it in the perspective of gaming right now is all. So just trying to, you know, take that step back and realize that things are going pretty good right now if this is a hobby of yours. Unfortunately, if you are a golfer and you live in Ohio, it is a terrible time in golfing because the weather's awful, dude. I've got windburn on my face, literally.
That's all right. That's all right. It's time to wrap up the show.
It is.
I do want to mention one email from Carl from Triverse at Scenic 7.
Oh, yeah.
There. I want to mention an email about Dustin, Vogue Nasty. You know, Scott and I are into things that help the community and help people out. And so there was a PR release, which we will publish with this episode, a link to. You can go to scenic7pr.com as well and read more about it. But the press release says that popular YouTube vlogger Dustin Vogler plans to take on countless gaming villains in special gaming marathon scheduled for May 14th through May 15th, aired over Ustream. It's a 24-hour event. It's being staged to benefit the Victorious Life Church located in High Point, North Carolina. They're in need of a new roof for their children's area. And I believe this is Vogue Nasty's, the church they go to after talking to him today. I think this is where he goes. And he's just trying to do it to help the children have a place to spend their time in their church building. And so he's doing online donations. And you can read all about those at Scenic 7. I'm not going to read the entire press release. But I think that's cool that someone from our community is wanting to participate in raising money for a good cause.
Yeah.
So go to scenic7pr.com, check that out. If you want to get involved in donating, you can. Yes. Just wanted to mention that because Vogue Nasty is a big supporter of our show, and we want to support him and his ventures and what he's doing.
Absolutely. And there's one thing, speaking of Carl, that we do want to mention briefly. If you're a hardcore gamer, I mean a hardcore gamer, not like Tony or I, but someone that is fully dedicated –
and yeah, also, someone like me, but with rock hard abs.
Yeah, let's just pretend that that Tony has a doppelganger out there that didn't get married, and he's just like this dude that's like exactly the same, but can focus on gaming instead of being instead of like having a family. Well, if you're one of those people and you have pretty strong writing skills, or you'd be interested in doing some voice work with a British or an Irish accent. Contact Carl over at scenic7pr.com and he'll help you out. I say British or Irish accent purely because I can't do one. So if you are British or Irish, clearly you have the accent already. Unfortunately, he didn't ask for an American one, which I think we would have been able to handle just fine with our Midwest twang. So, but yeah, check out scenic7pr.com if you have an interest in finding out more information. That's all I have about it, but just wanted to pass that information along for a good buddy, Travers. So, cool. Tony, you thanked all of our sponsors at the beginning of the show, so I think that wraps up episode 40. What?
Dude.
What?
I just want to say episode 48's in the books, suckers.
Close it. It's done. See you next week.